Now, I always try to take a little time and talk with you before I start preaching to you on the nights that I do preach to you. I try to talk with you just a little bit. And I ask you a few questions like, are you really going to stand with me? Everyone that's really going to stand with me, I want to see your hand. Now, do you just hold your hands up a minute. Do you really mean that? You're really going to stand with me? I'd like to take a look at them. All right. I believe you mean it. All right, now to stand with me means that you will have to stand with Christ. Because that's what we're trying to do, is to reach souls for Christ Jesus. Stand with me in my radio programs. Stand with me in my television programs. Stand with me in the printed page. Now, as far as I know, Brother Stevie started the printing this past Saturday. And Mitch, I believe you might have got some of Harvest to Herald out, or did you? You got all of it. Oh, I was fixing to say, if you got 100,000, I've never seen work like that before. But you got all of what? What do you mean, all of it, Brother Mitch? You got all the layout ready for Harvest to Herald. But Stevie was doing some printing. 12,000 of the inside page printed, and it's real good work. It's superb work. As a matter of fact, there's one or two little pitches concerning our visit to Central America, and maybe a little write-up. Concerning that, you might say, well, I ain't interested in that, Brother Pike. Well, maybe you're not, see, because you're here all the time, and you hear me, and you get tired of listening at me. But them people don't ever get to hear me. And they're glad to get a little word from me. You know, some of them write and say they are. So what we're here for, folks, is to try to reach them and do something for them. That's what we're laboring together for. That's like a man working in a candy shop. He works with candy all the time. Till he gets to where he don't want to see any candy. But them people out there that can't buy any candy, they'd love to get a chunk of it. So let's just share with one another here. And when you have grievances and heartaches and problems, and I look at Brother Taylor and I say, oh, that's him again. And he looks at me and he says, oh, that's him again. You know, like your wife, you sit there and you look across the table and say, same old face, been seeing for years and years and years. She said the same thing. Every time I look across, that's all I see. See, but remember, you're working for the children's sake. Is that right? All right, so then let's labor together and let's do something for God. I have a lot that needs to be done here, folks. An awful lot that needs to be done. And let's not work contrary to one another. Now, to give you an example of what I say, so now, Brother Pike, we don't work contrary to one another down here at Bethlehem. Well, what I mean is, like if Bobby and Brother Hollis and a number of them, they go out and they plow and they dig and they plant, they get everything just right. And then Brother Lyman and his crew goes out and they cut grass and they run over everything they done planted and pack it down. Work together. So we don't have any harvest. I said, why do you bring that up? That's what Bobby said happened. Now, Lyman didn't mean to do that, and the others didn't mean to do that. But see, Bobby's still hurt. That doesn't help the grass situation. So then if we paint the buildings and you come up, you know, your parents let the children come up and they throw their feet on the side of the wall, the bicycle goes up against it, and the men folk out here, they prop up against the wall and they throw their foot up against the wall. You understand what I mean? We have the garbage man come by and pick up the garbage, and you throw it everywhere, all around the trailers, everywhere, everything just to clutter up. I buy your Coca-Cola, or somebody buys your Coca-Cola, you throw the bottle out on the ground. Now, is there anybody guilty? I know there's bound to be, because I pick up so many Coca-Cola bottles. There's bound to be somebody guilty. I don't know who it is, but somebody's guilty. So then let's work together. Let's try to do something for the glory of Jesus Christ. Now somebody said, well, you're not funny. I'm not a clown. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm a preacher. I'm just trying to be pleasant. If you're looking for a clown, you have to go to a circus. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to be pleasant. You get rid of that old critical mind you got, or go to a circus, and you'd enjoy it a whole lot better, whichever one you desire. But I'm telling you these things in a pleasant sort of a way to try to get my point over to where you'll listen at what I'm trying to tell you. Something has got to be done. You got to work with me a little better. If you really mean you're going to work with me, then show me that you really mean it. Because I've got a lot of things to do, folks. A lot of things. And you got a lot of things to do. You might say, well, that's your business. But you got a lot of things to do. Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. And the Father's business is your business, too. Did you know that? That's like when that man wrote me that arrogant letter over here from the Ford place. And some of you remember it. And I went in and I sat down in his office. I had to go through a chain of commands to get in there. But I sat down and I let him tell me his grievances. And when he got through, I said, now, sir, you listen to me. I said, I've listened to you. You told me how you feel. I said, I want to tell you how I feel. I said, just because you're sitting behind that desk in the collar and tie, and you're some kind of big executive, I said, that does not excuse you from your responsibility to God. I said, you're a human being and God made you and he's expecting you to do something about it. And he looked at me. He looked at me like he thought I'd lost my mind or something. And I told him, I said, now, instead of jumping all over me, what you need to do is help me carry the gospel. When I got through, he was so tore up, as some of you know, that they had to give him a few weeks leave. And he had to go see a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist couldn't help him, and he had to come to Little Bethlehem and counsel with me. He said, man, I'm tore to pieces. Tore all to pieces since the day you talked to me. And I had to pray for the man so he could go back to work. I said, I didn't mean to tear him to pieces, but we've got to work together. We've got to work together. Nobody is relieved of the responsibility of the work of the Lord Jesus. Banker, dentist, preacher, laity, don't make any difference. We all are laborers together. All right, I'm going to read just a little bit to you. I appreciate your time. Maybe I won't hold you but just a little bit because I took quite a bit of time just exhorting you here. A lot of times I slip those things in, you know. I get in a few quick licks against the devil. Catch you off guard. If everybody thinks I'm going to preach, you know, they all get set. But if I preach about a 30-minute sermon before I let them know I'm going to preach, then I got them in pretty good shape. I have tried in the last little bit to help you. How do you believe I've tried to help you? I might not have done a good job of it, but I tried. In St. Luke, in the 24th chapter, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reason, Jesus himself drew near and went them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are said? And to one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman or the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set it meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not a heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he shewed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which was written in the laws of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's reading quite a bit of scripture tonight. Here we have a picture in our minds, as we hear this reading, of the Lord Jesus being a man on this earth. You see, you think, now if Jesus was here, everybody would get excited. They say, now Brother Pike's here, there's nothing to get excited about. Brother Taylor's here, no reason to get excited. But now, if Jesus was here, we'd get excited. But you see, these men didn't get excited. Though they said their hearts burned within them, yet they never did get excited. They didn't know it was Jesus. See, the Bible said he appeared unto them in another form. Is that right? How do you know that the Lord Jesus can appear in another form if he wants to? He appeared unto them in another form and he talked with them, but they never did get excited. Their hearts literally burned like fire, but they didn't get excited. Now, that proves that though God himself come into this world, that there's more excitement over the movies, more excitement over the president, more excitement over ice skating, more excitement over skiing, more excitement over ball games than there is over the God of heaven that made heaven and earth. Can you imagine that? More excitement. God himself clothed in a human body, walking upon this earth, communicating with men and talking with men, just as you and I would talk to one another. But they never got excited. Yet they knew that their hearts burned within them. You ever had God to talk with you and your heart just burn on the inside? Have you? It is a positive proof that though God comes down in our midst, yet even though he comes down in our midst, yet we don't recognize him. That's what I'm trying to get over to you tonight. See, we don't recognize God. This is a sad situation. It's a sad thing not to recognize God. Don't you agree it's a sad thing not to recognize God? If the president came here, you'd recognize him, wouldn't you? How many of you'd recognize the president if he came down here? Sure you would. You'd take one look. If he came to a cafe or something, you'd say, that's Jimmy Carter. But why is it that we can't recognize God? If you heard a radio program and you didn't even see Jimmy Carter, you'd say, that's Jimmy Carter. Because you're familiar with his voice. You that have heard him, you're familiar with his voice. But why is it that we don't recognize God? Though God comes to us many times, Job said God comes to us and speaks to us in many ways. But why is it that we don't recognize God? When the Lord returns to us and he comes to us in a new form, in a different way, comes down in our midst, why is it that we can't recognize God? You know why? The Bible said, my sheep know my voice. You are not the sheep of God. See, if you was the sheep of God, every time God came to this sanctuary, you would know that it was God. You wouldn't have to guess. You wouldn't have to wonder. You wouldn't have to sit and say, well, I wonder now if that's God. Would you have to do that? If you heard the voice of your wife calling you, you that are married, wouldn't you know that was your wife's voice above other voices? Wouldn't you? You mothers, if you heard the cry of your little lady, of your little boy, wouldn't you know that voice? Sure. You know why? Because you love that little fella. You've been with that little fella. That little fella's a part of you. And you know what? When you stay with God and you learn to love God and find out that God loves you, you'll know his voice too. When God speaks, you'll say, that's God that spoke to me. I've heard people say, well, God just doesn't speak to me, but God does speak to you. A lot of times you just don't hear him, that's all. See, God walked in their midst, tabernacling in a human body, just like a man with clothes on, just like I've got here just a human being walking along by the side of the road on the way to Emmaus and exchanging conversation with them. And all of a sudden, the illumination of God came down, touched their hearts, and it was just like he built a fire on the inside. And they began to burn on the inside. and his words begin to cut deep into their understanding. But they still didn't know it was God. And then the Bible said finally, at last, he was revealed to them. And then when he was made known to them, all of a sudden, no doubt one said to the other, said, "My God, that was Jesus. My God, he's risen from the dead. Here we walk with him and talk with him side by side. We've heard him and he's heard us. And we walked along together. Step by step, we walked with him and talked with him and we heard him and he heard us." And he asked us questions. Now look at this. If you notice, Jesus never gave his identity away. He walked with them. But he said, "What are you fellas talking about?" Now that happens among us brethren a lot of times. We'll be saying things. Another brother come up, he didn't hear it. He said, "Wait a minute, I didn't hear that. What you talking about?" See, Jesus just walked up in the midst of them and they had begun to have been exchanging conversation. And Jesus said, "What are you fellas talking about?" They said, "Oh, just come on, walk with us. We'll tell you." Here they was all walking along together. He said, "Don't you know about all these things that's happened?" Jesus said, "What is this took place?" And they said, "Well, somebody's been killed over here, nailed to a cross." "You mean you haven't heard about it?" Jesus said, "Tell me about it." And then they told him. And he listened just like a man. And then when they got through, boy, don't you know there must have been some kind of feeling when he turned around and he said, "Ye fools."
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Don't you know that must have tore them up? Here he walked with them and talked with them and would not reveal his identity so that they would tell him the things that they had on their heart, searching out to see if they believed the word of God. There he listened, trying to find out if they really believed in what the holy apostles had said, what the prophets had said. Listen to the words that they said. And here they talked with one another. And Jesus listened very careful until they completely expressed their hearts. And then he just stopped and turned to them after seeing their unbelief. They said, "We had hoped that it would be him that would deliver Israel." Now you see what they're saying? They said, "We had hoped it would be him that would deliver Israel." He said, "But there you are. He's just like the rest of them. He's dead." And Jesus just stopped them and said, "Ye fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Why is it," Jesus said, "that you can't believe? I told you the word of God. I spoke the word of God to you. But I can tell by your actions. I can tell by your doings. I can tell by the way you listen and the way you speak that you didn't believe what I told you." And he said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then the illumination of God began to light up that body and the wonderful anointing of God began to shine out from the Son of God. And he began to take his text from the book of Moses. And the Bible said he began to preach revelation all the way from the book of Moses all the way to the resurrection of the Son of God. And the Bible said he expounded unto them all things concerning himself. You don't find any place in the Bible where Jesus came trying to witness of himself or testify of himself as he walked in the flesh. Not one time do you find him trying to witness of himself. But just as quick as he was risen from the dead, he knew that everything was finished. That flesh could not get the glory. He said to them, "Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said." And he spoke concerning the word of God, revealed everything concerning the prophecies concerning himself. He preached himself to them. Folks, it's necessary that you believe. It's necessary that you believe. If you cannot believe, you cannot be translated. The preacher that preaches to you in the morning, the preacher that preaches to you on Sunday night, the preacher that comes to you every chance that we have to preach to you when we come together. Those things that the preacher is saying to you, they are necessary for the edification of your mind and salvation and soul, to the translation, that you might escape eternal damnation. Every word that the preacher preaches, everything that we're trying to say to you, everything that we're trying to expound to you, everything that we're trying to place within your heart, those things are absolutely needful and necessary for you to be able to escape the damnations of the burning lake of fire. Your faith in what the minister says to you, your faith in what the preacher tells you, it's absolutely necessary for you to listen to what the preacher says, to give the more earnest heed to it. Not just listen. Don't be like a fool. The Bible teaches a fool will come into the house of God, and you warn a fool, but he doesn't pay any attention to you. He just goes on down the road till the dart strikes through his liver. Don't be like a fool, but listen to the word of God. Give the more earnest heed to the thing that you have heard. Why should I give the more earnest heed to the thing that I've heard? He said, lest you let them slip. What does he mean by letting them slip? Give the more earnest heed to the things that you have heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. You must give the more earnest heed to these things, because faith cometh by the hearing of the word. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. If you do not give the more earnest heed to hear, that you might catalog that in your heart, that you might understand it, how in the world will you ever believe it when you cannot even remember what the preacher said? You must hear. For faith cometh by hearing, and without faith it is impossible to please God. You must have faith in God. If you are expecting to make the translation, you must have faith in God. There is no other way. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith. Jesus did not call those men fools for nothing. Would the Savior, who is so tender and so kind, would he just walk up to men and say, you are a bunch of fools? That wasn't Jesus' manner of life. But Jesus told them, said, I've died. I was crucified. You witnessed Calvary. Not only have you witnessed Calvary and the cruel entreatment, you witnessed my life here as I walked the earth. And now I've died and resurrected from the dead. And here you still stand in unbelief. He said, you're a bunch of fools. And God expounds that word to you. And you pay no attention and you're half-hearted. You've got your mind on the babies and you've got your mind on money. And you've got your mind on jobs and you've got your mind on your bellies. And you've got your mind on eating, drinking, all of these things. Half asleep in the congregation, half listening. Roaming through the house of God, going to and fro. You are a foolish people. When you do that, you are a foolish people. When you trade the words of the eternal God for the filth that you listen to on TV, listening to that filth on the radio of rock and roll, when you trade the words of God for a lot of jumbled up garbage that's out yonder among your fellow man in the world, you are a foolish man or a woman. When you spend all of your mind giving your attention and time to those things that will perish, that are not profitable, so that you can feel the exhilaration of the flesh, so that you can feel the experiences of the lust of the flesh, so that you can satisfy the passions of your body and the desires of your body, you are a foolish people. When you esteem that above the word of God, you're a very foolish people. But my brothers and sisters, let me tell you, this is the treasure. This is the glorious treasure. What kind of treasure is this, Brother Pike, that you speak of? This is the word of God. Jesus said, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Why should we doubt any of it? What right do I have to doubt anything that the prophets have said? I have no right to doubt. If God said it, why should I doubt it? Who am I to doubt it and dispute it? God has proven it. It's not some wild heresy. It's not his stories, they say in school, history. It's not some proven theology that they try to paste up by scientific fiction. That's not what it is. But it's the proven, profound word of creation. The words of life. And this is the word that is settled in heaven. Jesus said, my words are spirit and my words are life. I speak as unto wise men, Paul said. I speak words of spirit. Give the more earnest heed to them. Why should I heed them? Because if they are words of life and the just shall live by faith, then it's faith in the words of life that's going to make you live eternally. So then Jesus listened. Very carefully he listened to them testify. There he stood behind the badger skin. There he stood to them or talked to them in another form. Why did not Jesus talk to them in the same form? Because he was resurrected from the dead. They couldn't recognize him. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, the reason they didn't recognize him is because he was in another body. But how could that be? Because he said, feel of my hands. Look at my side. It wasn't another body. He said that it's me, even me. You understand what I'm saying? Come on now, you listening? It wasn't that he was in another body. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the Bible said their eyes were holden. They couldn't see. Come on, folks, are you listening? It wasn't Christ deceiving the people. It wasn't God that had come in another form as another God. But it was their eyes that were holding. They could not see. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. What is the wicked? The Bible said, beware when the Lord comes back, lest he find within you an evil heart of unbelief. That was the evil. The eyes of their understanding being blinded. They could not see. They could not understand. They said, our hearts burn within us. We know that now. When their eyes came open, they said, it is Jesus. And they looked. And it was the nail prints. And it was the Jesus. But what had happened? He had not hid himself from them. They had hid themselves from him. Isn't that what happened in the garden? Did God hide from Adam or did Adam hide from God? You know, it's like I said this morning. When the little boy goes out and he gets all muddy and dirty, he gets filthy. He comes and he peeks around the corner. See, he's looking for mom and daddy because he knows they're going to set the seat of his pants on fire, so to speak. They're going to paddle him. He's hiding. You understand? After he gets his paddling, gets straightened out, mama dips him a few times in the tub and scrubs him behind the ears, he's all right. After that, he doesn't mind being in the presence of mom and daddy. That's what's the matter with some of you. God's going to have to turn you up and give you a good hard paddling, and he's going to have to scrub you behind the ears with the waters of regeneration, dip you down in the tub a time or two in the name of Jesus, and then bring you up. And you'll stop hiding from God. Behind that old carnal mind of yours, that old carnal desire of yours, that old rebellious life of yours, for that hiding behind that old mind of wanting a new dress and a new car and a new suit and a new this and money and prestige and frolic and dope and everything else, chewing, spit and smoke, dance and frolic. See, you're hiding. The Bible said that Adam hid from God. Why in the world did Adam hide? He was a clean, upright man. He didn't have any reason to hide from God. All God wanted was fellowship. God hadn't done him any harm. Why was it that Eve wanted to hide? Because she was dirty. Adam and Eve had gotten dirty. That's what it was. He even went over and played in the mud hole and come back and slung mud on Adam. Both of them was dirty. When God began to walk through the garden, that righteousness, that atmosphere of holiness, that greatness began to move through the garden. And Adam said, oh my God. I can just picture him there as he began to wring his hands and say, oh my God, Eve, we better hide. We better do something. The garden began to be illuminated. Now that's the way it is with you. When the Holy Spirit begins to come and the presence of the great God of eternity begins to illuminate your room and your home and wherever you are, your heart, then you get afraid. Now listen, right here in this congregation, there are people that live like the devil. They do all kinds of evil. But they've got gifts in their lives. Are you listening? Somebody said, well, you couldn't have a gift. Balaam had a gift, and the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. You understand what I'm saying? Witches have got gifts, and they use them for the devil. Isn't that right? Somebody say, sister so-and-so, she's gifted. Stop by here. She'll tell you things. You understand what I'm saying? But you come to this congregation, and you're under heavy condemnation. You come into the brotherhood, the sisterhood, and you're under heavy condemnation. And you'll start repenting and bawling when that anointing comes, begging and pleading for God to pick you up out of the mud hole. And then you'll do something among the brotherhood or the sisterhood or in the sanctuary in letting the thing come about so everybody can see it. When that light comes on, you say, my God, look what I've missed, look what I've left. I'll do anything, God. Just use me, God. And the Lord, because He is merciful, and we're in the days of grace, the Spirit of God begins to move and your faith goes up and you say, everything's all right. But I'm going to tell you something. God's going to tear you up. He did Balaam. He's going to tear you up. Some of you are playing with God like that because I pick it up from time to time. You cannot do that. The Bible said, he that beareth the vessel of God, he must be holy. Let him be holy. If he bears the vessel of God, let him be holy. If we're going to bear the vessel of God, if we're going to have a gift, if we're going to preach, if we're going to come together in a union as a brotherhood, and we're going to be a testimony to the world, then let us be holy, my Christian friend. Don't let us do that the way that Balaam did. If you've got a gift, then you live holy, you walk holy, you be clean. Don't get the foolish idea because your gift works when the Spirit of God comes down that everything's all right and you're all right, because it doesn't mean you're all right at all. When the Spirit of God came down, Balaam with his eyes open could fall into a trance and see Christ, but the Bible teaches his heart was not right with God. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's why that I feel the way that I do today about a lot of these ministries. Some of you don't understand. You don't agree with me and you don't understand when I try to warn you about some of the ministers of today. But it doesn't matter if they've got gifts in their lives. That doesn't prove anything. All of these sacrifices they've done, that doesn't prove anything. Let him that beareth the vessel of the Lord be holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. To serve the Lord in holiness and righteousness all the days of his life or your life. That's what God is looking for, is holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Just because you can feel the Spirit of God at times when you get all excited or you feel the presence of God come down, I tell you again, that is not sufficient. That does not prove that you're born again. Because you might speak in tongues because everybody gets excited, that doesn't prove you got it. But folks, when you live a holy, unadulterated Christian life, every day of your life, 24 hours every day, walking upright before God, that means you got it. That means you got it like the Bible reads. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Believe my prophets and prosper. Sure, you can prosper if you believe the prophets, because they speak the word. The word of the Lord came unto the prophets. And when the word of the Lord comes, your faith in the word of God makes you prosper. For the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Hallelujah. Not only earthly rich, but heavenly rich. Riches that surpasses the wildest imagination. Glorious, glorious riches. Hallelujah. The song said, take the whole world and give me Jesus. That's good. I like that. But that's what the devil has done. He's taken the whole world. And you didn't get Jesus. The way to get the world is to get Jesus. The Bible said God made the world to be inhabited. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son that we might inherit all things. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Not only the earth, but the heavens. Providing that we will believe what the prophet said. I want to go the way of God. There is a right way. As the song I one time wrote, and there is a wrong way. And I want to go the way of the Lord. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Now think about that. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. To a man's understanding, there is a way that seemeth right. It seems right to him. What is the way that seemeth right unto a man? His own way. Come on now. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? For the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. That's what he thinks about it and what he feels about it. Come on now. That really is, as Mr. Alvin said one time when I got upset at the banker up there, he said, you shot him slap out of the saddle. That got a feller slap out of the saddle that time. It shook him up. Now you understand what I'm saying? There is the way that seemeth right unto man, and that way is his own way of doing things. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. This is the way. He said, there's the way that the eyes of the vulture has never seen, beloved friend. Though a man be a wayfaring fool, he's never erred into that path. Never. That is the way of godliness and the way of holiness. A highway that shall be called the highway of holiness. And the redeemed shall walk therein. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me. I appreciate you tonight. Fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Everything has always testified of Jesus. Today, it is the same. It is Jesus. 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 Wonderful Jesus. Sweetest song I've ever heard. Jesus. Are you glad that you're Christian? Will you labor with me? Will you help me? My life is to preach the gospel. Perhaps your life is to preach the gospel. My life is to win souls. Perhaps your life is to win souls. If so, then let's labor together. I will work with you and you work with me. For we are laborers together in the vineyard of Christ. Let's work together. Soon the night cometh when no man can work. So then if we're going to work, let's work together. Let's labor together, Christian friend. Because there is much to be done. And the only way to do it is for us to labor together. So I'm asking you to labor with me. To work with me. Because it's late. It's a lot later than you could ever imagine. It's late. You've heard of the late show, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, this message is fixing to go out on TV.
Yes, sir.
It's late. It's the late show.
Yes,
it's the last show. So it's very late. It's the latest show. It's the one that if you fail to see, all will be turned off into darkness and there won't be another. This is the end of the world. Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. This is the end of the world. So if you will, do something. Don't stay in the wilderness now. Don't stay in that old mind of yours of trying to worry about this and that and how much and whatever and who will and what you can and can't do and whether I am or I ain't or you will or you won't. Don't do that. Don't get in a wilderness. Stand up for God. Be what you are. Take this for your guideline. I'm going to tell you something. You may not believe this. You see this book? There is not another book, not another writing. There is nothing, nothing that can give you the understanding and ingenuity of life but this book. You may reason, you may do all kind of things. You may go to college, you may study. You may do many, many things. But there is only one book of life. This is the book of life. This will tell you how to live, the way that you must live, how that you can succeed, how that you will fail. This is the way, the truth, and the life, right here. So as long as you stay in your mind and you say, what am I going to do? How am I going to do it? What are we going to do? I don't know what to do. The wife will say to the husband, and the husband will say to the wife, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know where, what, you know, just a wilderness, always a wilderness. But if you'll take and acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, if it's paying your bills, if it's a young fellow marrying a woman, vice versa, or if it is caring for a home or children, whatever it is, if it is a calling in life, whatever it might be, if you will acknowledge this book, consider what this book says about whatever might be in your heart or mind or whatever you're confronted with through life. I promise you that in every instance of life, it will show you the right answer and you'll never be in a wilderness. But if you evade this book, if you just throw this book off, cast this book off and don't follow the directions of this book, you are going to remain in a wilderness for the rest of your life, your natural life, and die and be lost at the end of the way. So if you've got a situation, a sickness, a problem, whatever, the book has the answer for it. Let's sing a little chorus together. How many of you go try to make a new start in life? Really make a new start. You know, I know that here of a late, some of you are rededicating your lives, and you really are wanting to make a new start. I know that's true. I've talked to my own David Paul, and he tells me that he wants to make a new start. He wants to get a new lease on life, as we say, and try to do something for the sake of Jesus. And I trust that you will. I see this precious little thing that Mickey has here. So beautiful and wonderful. The Bible speaks of the children being an heritage from the Heavenly Father. But see, we have no assurance that the Lord will let us keep it unless we dedicate it to Him. Unless we give it to Him, it's like Hannah when she said, I'll lend him back to you, Lord. I'll lend him back to you because you answered my prayer and you gave him to me, then I will lend him back to you. But we have no promise of keeping a little one unless we do that. Isn't that right? We have no promise. The only assurance that we have is that we give him back to the Lord. If we will give him back to the Lord, serve the Lord, then we can have Him. We have no promise of tomorrow. I made the statement today, we have no promise of tomorrow. See, you have yesterday. You have today, or you've had today. But there is no promise that you have tomorrow. Tomorrow is not yet given to you, beloved friend. There is no promise to you of tomorrow. God has not promised you tomorrow. See, the Lord has not promised you tomorrow. The Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow. See, He hasn't promised you that. Take no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Now, if you are a Christian, if you're born again, then God promises you an eternal today. So you won't need it tomorrow. But if you're not serving Jesus, then you have no promise of tomorrow. Isn't that right? No promise of tomorrow. So then what have we done today? What have we done today? If we therefore have no promise of tomorrow, Christian friend, what have you or what have I done for Jesus today? I say, what have you done, Brother Pike? That's a good question. I know one thing I've done. I've screamed till I was hoarse at you this morning trying to tell you about Jesus. And I screamed at you again today, this evening, trying to tell you about Jesus. And I try to talk to some in between times about Jesus today. Because we don't know what a day will bring forth. You can't tell about tomorrow. Tomorrow, there may be heartaches and sorrow. But today, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So then, knowing that we have no promise of tomorrow, then what should I do? As I look back through today, then I thank God, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done today? What have I done? Remember, one of these days, we're going to stand before the judge of all the ages. And then when we do, it's going to come ringing into our hearts and minds, what have you done for God? A great man with education, a great man with money, a great man with title and prestige, a great man of reasoning, a fine-looking person, a woman. But see, there's not any of that that's going to count. The question is, what have you done for God in your lifetime? What have you done for God in your lifetime? When I stand there, I'll have to say, Lord, I've done so little. But I remember reading somewhere in the Bible one time like this. They asked and said, what can we do to work the works of God? And the Lord Jesus said, this is the works of God, that you believe on Him whom the Father has sent. And I'll have to answer back and I'll have to say, Heavenly Father, I believe on Him that you sent. That's all the works I've got to offer is Calvary. Will you receive me? And then I'll hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joys of thy Lord. That's what I'm looking for. I want to dedicate the little one. I didn't mean to keep Mickey standing so long. Forgive me, Mickey. I certainly didn't mean to keep you standing so long. How many of you appreciate Mickey and his wife? Do you really appreciate them? You know, we have a habit that if everybody doesn't do things the way we think it ought to be done, or the way we want it done, then we say, well, if that be the case, then they can't ever go. But you know, a lot of times it mightn't. be wise if we would stop and check our ways and see if our ways are perverted. That way we can judge others better. If we know our own ways, because a lot of times some of the things that we try to impose on others is not the will of God to start with. It's not the way of God, and many times some are standing off in the distance and will not come back and join ranks because of the talebearers and the middle wall of petition and all of that that has gotten in between. They can't find their way back because of the darkness that has prevailed. Many times souls are crying out, needing help. I have numbers of people come to me, and they need help. They're crying out for help, but they can't find their way back because they can't see a light. Let our light so shine that men may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven.